The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Hiring Dusty Baker is one big step for us to move forward. And I believe Dusty is the right person at the right time. We're absolutely thrilled to have him here. Please join me in welcoming Dusty and his family to the Astros family.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, welcome, Dusty, for an entire year. Lots to get to. It's already Thursday. Let's do it. It's the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, kind of the god of the universe.
No.
Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, if you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN. I've never been shy about blasphemy. 713-780-3776 is your number. Can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, send a message. Aaron likes it. Guess what? He'll read it. And it gives him a reason for existence. So help him out, because he doesn't really have one other than that. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want, you can watch us on the Twitch channel. Just go to ESPN975.com and click on Twitch, or go to Twitch and click on ESPN975.com. Put your comments in there. You'll get to them, maybe. It's a Thursday. Damn, week's almost over. This is flying by,
man.
Hoffman. What the hell?
I'll take it. We need a week like this.
Yeah, we kind of did.
Sometimes these weeks are too damn long.
Yeah.
I know for you, it's like you want long weeks because that means you're still alive.
Well, that's true.
But for me,
I want long days. I don't want long weeks. I know that doesn't make any sense.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I like the day. Once I'm alive and actually participating in the day, I want it to last a long time. But week-wise, I'd like for it to end.
Okay. So. You want really long weekend.
Yeah, I guess that's the reality of it. Now that I don't have to deal with Texans every weekend and I actually can take a day off here and there, yeah, I want the weekends to last forever.
Gotcha.
So, what's going on, man?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Not much. I'm just fired up. I am happy to be here today.
All right.
Going to be a fun show.
Why are you so excited?
I really don't have an answer
for
you. No
good reason.
No. I just...
Interesting.
Woke up alive today. Woke up in a great mood and got a bunch of work done to the point where I got to spend a lot of time on show prep today. A lot more than usual. Mostly because it's all stuff that I've been wanting to get to for 3 days and we haven't been able to. But that's all right. So, yeah, I'm just in a good mood.
Okay.
I have no real reason for it. So, we'll see how long it takes for it to go away. But, yeah, we'll see. Actually, doing something fun tonight that I want to invite the people to. If you happen to be in East Downtown, Radu, who was an intern here, who does a lot of stuff for us video-wise and things like that, very funny comic, he's doing a live talk show tonight at Secret Group starting at 8 o'clock. And I'm going to be one of his guests. And the theme is conspiracy theories. So, yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
So, like, what are we talking here? What's your...
Well, my conspiracy theories are going to be JFK. I get that classic one because I've been obsessed with that my whole life.
Okay.
And ancient aliens.
Okay.
Two things I should be very good at.
Okay.
But it sounds like a lot of fun. He's done this before and it's gone over really well. So if you're in the area looking for something to do... Come by.
All right, then.
Secret Group, 8 o'clock. I don't know what it costs, or if it costs. It may not even cost. I don't know. But, it just, in my neighborhood, and sound like a lot of fun. And I have lots of good content for him. So, there you go. What do you think of your man Dusty's press conference?
Not much. I think it's wild that, you know, Barry Warner's known him since like 1912. That's pretty impressive, I would say. I don't know that there's much to take away from these things. I mean, they're all kind of the same. This is the situation that makes this weird is he's replacing a guy who was a better manager than him. And that always makes for awkwardness, because usually when there's a new manager coming in, it's because the old manager got fired for performance issues.
Exactly.
So there's like this built-in sense of hope that the new guy will be better than the old guy. And I don't know anybody who thinks that Dusty Baker's a better manager than AJ Hinch.
Yeah, it is pretty rare. You don't. I mean, a lot of times you fire a guy and you hire a guy who winds up being worse. But you don't go in going thinking, "Hey, this guy is not nearly as good as the guy we just got rid of." So, to me, it doesn't really matter as long as he doesn't go out there and screw up people's arms, and as long as he doesn't make stupid mistakes. And this team's good enough; it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but I'm still concerned about what they're going to do in the front office. I think that's
who the new GM will be.
Yeah, because
that's more important.
Well, yeah, because if this team is really, you know, gets to the All-Star break and needs another arm, I mean, that's where it's going to be important. You know, what kind of deal do you make? Who do you go out and get? You know, and God forbid if they tank, then you start dumping people off for prospects. You want to be able to have somebody who's going to make smart deals. So that's what I'm worried about. Yeah, I think that's more important than the manager.
I think so, too.
And I think Dusty will be fine. I mean, he's dealt with a bunch of crap before, so why not a little bit more?
Yeah.
And it's about as crappy as it gets, at least at the start of the season. I think by midseason, it'll be fine. 713-780-ESPN. Scott says, Fred can comment on JFK and Lincoln assassination since he was there for both. yeah. I was also there when Socrates took the hemlock.
Yeah.
So... No, actually, JFK happened a year before I was born. Don't ask me why I've been fascinated by it ever since. I have no real reason for it. It's just been one of those things. It's one of my first memories growing up. One was the moon landing, and one was people talking about the JFK conspiracy.
Yeah.
I was probably 5 or 6 when I had my first memories of stuff, but that's what I remember first, so you kind of focus on that. At least I do, because... I mean, I did at the time. Now I don't really.
Yeah, I don't worry about that kind of stuff. I'm not a big.
Oh, I'm not either. But I think the, and you know, I Ancient Aliens I think is funny, and I have a lot of fun with that.
That's your kind of show.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, if you accept the initial premise, because they always start off with the ancient pyramids of the Mayans were a marvel of engineering, hundreds of years before their time. But what if extraterrestrials were involved? So if you buy the what if from there. Everything else makes perfect sense. But you have to accept that first thing. That, and if you ever want to play a drinking game during it, anytime they say, ancient astronaut theorists suggest, take a shot. You won't be able to watch more than 2 episodes back to back.
All right.
Or you will pass out on the couch, which I've done before. So, just so you know. what else is going on, man?
It's Thursday. And the Super Bowl's on Sunday.
Yes, it is.
And apparently money's flowing in on the 49ers. And there's a lot of books, including the book that I use most regularly online, where it's a pick 'em game now. So I don't know. I mean, not that, you know, being a pick is any different than -1 or 1.5 in the grand scheme. But
right.
It is interesting that it seems there's tons of money coming in on the 49ers.
I find that fascinating because the more I look at this game, the stronger I feel about the Chiefs. And I already like them going in, but I mean, every stat that I look at, everything that I trust points to the Chiefs. And I mean, so go for it. Keep going that way. I'm totally cool with that. I'm kind of curious. I want to see some of the alternate lines because I could see the Chiefs running away with this. I really could. If they get a big enough lead where the 49ers are having to play like the Ravens did against the Titans, I think this thing gets out of hand in a hurry.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, I haven't changed my mind on that. And yeah, I think this is a really good 49ers team. I do see a path for them to win, but you know, I am definitely leaning Chiefs here. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, at this point, I don't think I can. I don't think there's a way I'll put a ticket in on the Niners, just because of my. I mean, my power ratings don't have this rated as an even game. I had this game at 2.5 points, but you know, before the line was released, so. Now I'm getting 2.5 points of value. There's no way I'm going to find my way to a 49ers ticket. I said all along, the only way that I would be playing the 49ers is if it went to +3.
Right.
And
even then, man, I can't do it.
It would have been tough for sure, but now.
Because you're talking about a half point that you're getting, basically.
But, well, I mean, it's an important half point. I mean,
it is,
but it's way more important than any other half point between 2.5 and 0. So, but that said, we're obviously not going to get a +3 on either side here. This is going to be a closely lined game. And so I still am not 100% sure that I'm going to be on the Chiefs. I am 100% sure I'm not going to be on the Niners.
Yeah, I'm not going to say 100% because I could chicken out at the last minute. But I feel really good about Kansas City here.
What I do, I mean, the more I look at it, and you go through the Chiefs season and look at their starts to games, if I was interested in the 49ers, I'd play 49ers first quarter or, you know, something along those lines. And that is more interesting to me because the Chiefs have been slow starters.
Yeah, yeah. And I just, man, the more I look at it, I don't think the 49ers are going to be able to run the ball the way they did against the Packers. I know that the Chiefs struggled with that for a lot of the season, but they didn't over the second half. Having a healthy Jones in the middle there is huge for them. And I know it's just one player, but that makes that entire line that much better against the run. I mean, I am not quite feeling as good about this as I did when we hammered Seattle against Denver that year.
Oh, that was the easiest.
But
that's the easiest Super Bowl I've ever had.
Yeah, that's kind of the gold standard of games because the whole world was on Denver. And I think there were maybe five of us that were on the other side, but I feel almost as good about this one as I did that one. So,
see, I don't know if I feel that good about it.
I've been higher on the Chiefs than you all year, for one thing.
Yeah, I will say the one spot where, like, the last time where I was really comfortable with who I thought was going to win the Super Bowl, or at least cover the spread in the Super Bowl, and I bet it basically every way I possibly could, which thankfully I did instead of just betting, you know, the final line.
Right.
But I bet the Falcons against the Patriots first to score, first touchdown, or first quarter, first half. I played all these things, and I was like, oh, boy, I'm just going to be raking in thousands of dollars on this game. And then the second half happened.
Yeah.
And I think I won, like, you know, $28 or something on that Super Bowl that I thought I was just going to be, like, set on.
Started off great.
Yeah, it just didn't finish well. So I felt really good about that game. So I'm, you know, my feeling isn't always right. I'll say that.
One of my favorites was one of my best friends who's just a fantastic sports gambler. The first Super Bowl that was here, Patriots and Panthers, he was all over the under to the point that, you know, they were doing these temporary tattoos and he had under tattooed on his forehead. And the first half, it was, what, 6-3 or something? And, of course, the second half, it just exploded. And everybody scored on every possession. Yeah. And it's like, man, you know, I don't think you were wrong there. Just what the hell happened? A couple of things from the text line, and then we'll move on here. We never landed on the moon, Fred. Oh, stop that. Stop that. That's a bad conspiracy. So, Mattress Mack bet $1 million on San Francisco. That makes me feel better about the Chiefs. When was the last time
Mattress Mack? He's on a cold streak.
Yeah, and no disrespect to Mattress Mack, who is great in this community. He's done a lot here. I have tons of respect for him. Probably not going to be following him on bets, just for whatever it's worth. All right, guys, let's talk about mybadexperience.com. Listen, if you've had a bad experience with a business of any kind, whether it's a contractor or anything like that, well, how about this? MyBadExperience.com, for $4.99, you can tell all. You might even reach a resolution with that business to compensate you for your loss of hard-earned money. And the great thing is, this is a real site. There's no fake stars or ratings, no ads. Everything's verified. So this is your chance to help warn others before it's too late. You can post any bad experiences and make businesses accountable. This is a site for the consumer, and they want to put a stop to bad businesses. The reviews stay up even when it's resolved. So people can go in and say, hey, they didn't resolve it. Or, you know what, at least they reached out and fixed it. And that's the great thing about mybadexperience.com. Doesn't matter what kind of business it is or what kind of situation it was, $4.99. That's all it's going to take for you to get on and put your beef with them, and My Bad Experience will take care of it. MyBadExperience.com, a paid review is a legitimate review. Stop bad business today. MyBadExperience.com. No mistakes, except what you create. You need to know your place. Because it's about to get heavy.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. And Stryker on the Twitch, I love you, but stop trying to sell me on the non-moon landing, okay? That one's... There's several...
You're not going down with that one.
Contrails, no. Failed moon landing, no. Aliens exist, though, so... and then... Couple other things. Rockets Babe says I'm to play the nerd bit for me from Dell. I'm a nerd. I never have pretended to be anything else. Or a dork. I'm not sure which. Maybe both. But Jay Lucrum says, does someone have an update on Mookie Betts to the Dodgers? Apparently that deal's close. Which, man, I mean, are the Red Sox suddenly going to quit spending money?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, they're supposed to get rid of David Price in the deal, which, you know, and the Dodgers, I don't think they care about money.
They don't care about money, but the Red Sox also used to not care about money.
Well, I think it goes in waves, right? You don't care about money when you have a chance to win the World Series.
And then it's like, damn.
And then
suddenly you
don't make the playoffs, and then it's...
Yeah, this is alarming. We've got a giant payroll, and we're sitting at home in October.
Alex says, I think the Astros should go all in for 2020, trade for top pitching by trading our top prospects, because after 2020, some players will be gone. As thoughts, I agree, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they want to spend any more money. I think Crane has kind of told you, hey, we're not going over the luxury tax, which right now they're $3 million over, I believe, I heard Barry say earlier. So, you know, I agree in principle. In reality, I don't think it's going to happen. And yeah, I enjoy it this year because next year looks pretty bleak because you'll have Brantley will be up and Springer will be up and Correa will be up. And I don't see any way you're keeping all those guys. And Verlander and Grinke are going to be a year older and you'll still have them. But, you know, talk about ancient aliens. Those guys are going to be up there. So I think this is the year, but we'll see if they actually do it.
Did you see why and I'll be honest, it makes some sense why the Red Sox would want to trade Mookie Betts. Have you seen the stuff on their contract negotiations?
No.
In the 2019 offseason, the Red Sox offered Mookie Betts 10 years, $300 million. That seem fair?
Yeah.
Mookie countered with 12 years, $420 million. So I can see why the Red Sox would maybe say, you know what, bro, go on. Go on your way. Obviously they're way off on numbers. That's hard to overcome, it seems. So I don't know. If you're off by $120-something million, okay.
Yeah, and he's in his last year, so you want to get something for him, obviously. But
if that's the kind of money he's asking for, how much can you? I mean, are the Dodgers? I mean, are they going to give up top prospects and then pay this guy $420 million? I can't imagine that, especially considering this last season he declined from what he was doing before.
I think they'll give him a big deal. I don't think they'll give him that. I mean, I think that's just negotiations, and they're so far apart that if you're the Red Sox, yeah. You say, okay, we're not even going to come close to that. So you see this, Cody Stoops just tweeted out. He had Martha Stewart on his show.
All right.
Interesting.
Good for him.
Yeah. I can't imagine why we would want Martha Stewart on the show.
I mean, maybe talk about prison. That's what I would ask.
Yeah, you would ask her.
Ask her if she smoked weed with Snoop Dogg?
Well, we already know that.
Yeah. So
ask her about it.
Yeah, she's kind of a weird.
I think the prison stuff is the most interesting thing about her.
Yeah. I could ask if she was on, if she was one of the... The sisters,
was she
or
desired?
Was she Tim Robbins?
Yeah,
that's what I would ask. 713-780-ESPN. So let's get back to the Super Bowl for a minute. I was watching a lot of NFL Network today, which when they weren't doing shtick, there was a lot of interesting stuff. They were talking about that 17 game season, and Richard Sherman has basically come out and said, this is pretty stupid because on one hand, you're talking to us about player safety.
Right.
And now you're talking to us about a 17-game schedule. And a lot of the NFL people were spinning it as well. It'll be one less game because we're going to take away two preseason games to add this regular season game. And the reality is no good players are playing those two preseason games. And when they are, they're playing half speed. They're not even trying, really. They're just out there playing basically 7-on-7. So... That I don't buy that, and I do think if player safety is really that important, then this isn't even an issue. But, I mean, it's obviously not important. So with that in mind, okay, go ahead, play 17 games. Yeah. I'm okay with it as long as you don't care. But, yeah, that was thought that was interesting. And then they also kind of talked about some moves that the teams made that got them there. And for the Chiefs, obviously trading up for Mahomes, but
it ended up working out.
This is, I mean, I think it was kind of underrated that Steve Spagnuolo was hired as a defensive coordinator, and they made a move because last year, obviously, they couldn't stop anybody. And I think that's been a huge, huge thing for them. It didn't, it took a while for it to work, but once it did, I mean, that guy's a hell of a good defensive coordinator. And again, goes back to guys with head coaching experience who were really good coordinators before they got the job and sucked as a head coach. I mean, I'm not mentioning any teams in town or anything because they're on my ban list for the day. But that does make a lot of sense.
Wait, what's on your ban list?
Huh?
What's on your ban list for the day?
That team over on Kirby.
Oh.
I got nothing to say about them. You know why? You know why? Because it's Super Bowl week. And you know who's not playing in the Super Bowl?
Well, what else is new?
Well, okay. So they don't deserve any run this week. They've already got their run. But, I mean, that was an underrated move, and I think...
Why do people keep calling you?
I don't know. It's spam risk.
You should put your phone on this table so it doesn't vibrate our microphones.
Well, I'm getting spam risks and telemarketers. That's, for one thing, I'm not going to answer it. I don't care who it is.
Right.
I don't talk on the phone, but I'm not going to do spam risk, that's for sure. So... All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. And, guys, what are you paying on your credit cards every month? Too much? How about this? Why don't you consolidate those into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? And it's easy. All you have to do is get a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Rates are as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. That's much lower than the national average interest rate on credit cards, which is over 20%. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees whatsoever. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply and do it right there on your phone. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And how about this? If you're a listener of the show, they're going to deliver even more. Just for the Blitzers, apply now and get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Fred for more information.
I'm trying to stay paid. When I die, put my money in a grave. When I die, put my money in a grave. I really got to put a couple in a play.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Bernardo says there's a feature on your iPhone that automatically blocks spam calls and telemarketing calls. Yeah, you know what? I'd love to be able to figure that out, but I can barely figure out how to use the damn thing. So, you know. Everybody tells me about all these features. Like, I'm going to have to take my laptop in tomorrow because the screen has this green tint to it on photos. It's fine on everything else, but on the photos. And I was on with Apple support for about an hour today. And like, okay, try this. Like, oh, how do you do that? And none of it worked. So, yeah, Man, I can use the things, and I can find shortcuts with them, but if you're asking me to dive in and do very simplistic stuff, like, oh, you can fix the settings, good luck with that. Just not going to happen. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you wish to get in today on a Thursday. I have Brad Powers on later. You guys going to talk a little college basketball?
I don't know if we're going to, I've got to text him to see because he's in Miami.
Oh, so yeah, that's
I'm
right.
I'm not sure if,
of course, in fact, he'll be off air.
Yeah. In fact, I don't think we are going to have him because they're at the Fox Sports table, which means the Fox Sports table, like, as soon as they get off, somebody else is on it.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll have Brad today.
Okay. Well, that's cool. You can always talk college basketball on your own. I'm not going to stop you.
We're not going to do a podcast for the weekend normally on Friday morning. We do one on Thursdays and it's out on Friday morning. We're not going to do one this weekend, so we'll have some best bets from me and Brad and Dave Essler that we'll put out on Twitter and on pregame. So,
all right, hey, I think this is a first, what I'm about to say. I agree with Deion Sanders on something. I don't know if you saw this, but he basically says something that you and I have been saying here for a while. They're letting too many people in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And this isn't just football. It's everybody.
No, and he actually said they said about baseball and football. I mean, nobody cares about basketball. Let's just start with that. The Basketball Hall of Fame is a joke.
It is.
Baseball and football, though, are important to people. And here's what he says. What is a Hall of Famer now? Is it a guy who played a long time? It's so skewed. Once upon a time, a Hall of Famer was a player who changed the darn game, who made you want to reach in your pocket and pay your admission to see that guy play. That's not a Hall of Famer anymore. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry, you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. They let everybody in this thing. It's not exclusive anymore, and I don't like it. I couldn't have said that better myself.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is going to be an unpopular statement here, but when they go back and they add a couple players that, you know, are from like the olden days.
Yeah.
Every year, that's a bad look too. You're diminishing what it is.
I think letting Larry Walker in the Hall of Fame is a perfect example of what he's talking about. I mean, he was a good player, but I don't ever recall going and buying a ticket to a game to say, hey, I'm going to go see Larry Walker tonight.
Yeah.
Sure did to go see Roger Clemens. Sure did to go see Derek Jeter, Barry Bonds. But never Larry Walker.
No.
Or Harold Baines.
Ugh.
Oh, Harold Baines is coming to town, man. We got to go get tickets.
Yeah.
I just, in NFL, I mean, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is doing it now, too. But then theirs is always so weird. Because, oh, we're not going to put T.O. in right away.
Right.
We're
going to
make
Can't
him
do
wait.
That.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll go get some old white guy from the 40s. Make sure he gets in there. Been dead for 20 years, but that's okay. So, good on Deion for saying that.
Yeah. There's always a couple guys each class, and I'm like, that guy? Really?
I don't think football is as bad as baseball anymore.
Well, football puts in five a year.
Right.
And then they put in five regular players, and then they put in a handful of like contributors and coaches and other things, which I think there's too much of that also. But So they do an okay job. And then baseball, I mean, their classes are normally, you know, they're getting to where they're two or three guys tops. But I do think with football, sometimes because they always have five, you end up pushing guys through that, I guess they're Hall of Famers. Like, and I don't know. I don't want to, because, I mean, you make it, it's a big deal. But like, the other, 2018, here's an example. Ray Lewis, obvious one. Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, obvious ones. Brian Urlacher, obvious one. Now they got to get a fifth guy. Like, Brian Dawkins was a good safety for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if Brian Dawkins is like a Hall of Famer.
No, I would say
that. The year before that, they put in a freaking kicker. They put in a kicker, and they put in Terrell Davis and Kurt Warner. Three guys who had, like, two guys who, you know, had really half careers. And Kurt Warner, I at least understand. The guy won, you know, he's a champion and was a big reason why his team won the Super Bowl as a quarterback, and he put up some, like, record-breaking numbers. Terrell Davis had a couple good years. Morton Anderson's a kicker. I mean, I get it. He kicked for a long time. He kicked for 20-something years.
Yeah.
Are you a Hall of Famer if you kick for 20-something years?
Apparently. Was he even the best Anderson?
I don't know.
Wasn't Gary Anderson better?
I don't know.
I don't know either. They're kickers. And, you know, maybe there should be a special teams Hall of Fame that's separate. And by the way, people have asked about five or six players. Is this person a Hall of Famer? I'm going to say everybody you've asked about without getting into your names, no.
Are they asking baseball or football?
Football. No, they're not. But again, my Hall of Fame's a lot less liberal than yours.
Yeah, I don't have much wiggle room in mine.
Because I guarantee you there's some guys you mentioned even in that Ray Lewis group besides Dawkins that I probably would have not let in.
You wouldn't have let Urlacher in?
No.
Ooh.
No. My Hall of Fame, I never paid to go see Brian Urlacher either. I liked watching him play. But, I mean, I think that's a pretty good standard Deion has. He'd be borderline.
Okay.
He'd have to sit out a couple times before he got in.
Okay.
Is that fair?
T.O. and Randy Moss are obvious, though, right? Like, no one's arguing those.
No.
Maybe that's what the rule should be. Like, if there's really any discussion about it, maybe that guy's not a Hall of Famer.
You know, I mean, and we've talked about how they have to do it, where these guys go up there and make a case for the guys.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, if you have to make a case, and enough people are saying, I don't know about your case here, then, you know, that guy should just be eliminated. And, you know, I think it's, I get, you know, you want to honor people who are important to the game, but, and not everybody is going to be John Elway. Or Dan Marino.
Right.
So there are going to be guys who weren't as good as John Elway and Dan Marino who are in the same hall as those guys. That's fine. I get it. But, boy, the gap shouldn't be that big. We shouldn't be going from John Elway to, and, you know, we talked a lot about Eli. Eli's going to get in. Were those guys really even remotely comparable? I mean, Eli's going to get in because of the Super Bowls.
Yeah. And should Eli Manning get in? Probably not. Like, do I think Eli Manning's one of the greatest who's ever played this game? I don't. Do I think Eli Manning's going to get in the Hall of Fame? 100% I do. So it's not like whether I think he should be in, because the answer to that is no. Do I think he will be in based on what we've seen in the past?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he'll be in. Yeah, I don't mind Deion saying that. I think he's right.
Sit out a few years, then you can get in the Hall. Should never be said. It's in or not. No, it really shouldn't be. I mean, if a guy's borderline, no, he shouldn't get in on the first vote.
Well, I will say this. Imagine if they said, okay, here's the deal. Everybody's got one shot. One shot at the Hall of Fame. If you don't make it in, you're done. That's it.
See, I could see giving him two. And the reasoning for that is there might be a year where there's, especially in the NFL, you might have a year where there's legitimately five guys and you're close, and you're not going to get in, I give you a second year. Because if the next year, if you're not better than that group, then no, you don't deserve to be in. So I'll give you 2 years. How's that?
Yeah, I could see it. I might go along with that.
And yeah, I mean, I could tell you right now, if it were my Hall of Fame, I could Thanos that bitch tomorrow. I could get rid of half of them.
Yeah.
And just say these people in baseball and in football, say these guys don't belong. That's it. But yeah, I get that they want more in than not, because it interests more fans and more teams, and people get into it and say, oh, our guy was a Hall of Famer.
Dan says, if Manning was not his last name, would Eli still get in? And it's like I said before, if his last name was Davidson and he was the number one overall pick and he won two Super Bowls, including one against the greatest team to ever play, and was a Super Bowl MVP twice, yes, he would get in. So and Eli Manning's also, he's up in the numbers category.
Yeah, he's like high enough up.
His numbers aren't, like, he doesn't have crappy numbers. The only crappy number, really, is his win-loss.
Right. And, if this guy's in, then he should be in. Well, you can't compare stats now to stats from the 80s and 90s, and you guys should know that by now. So you could have examples like T.O. not getting in if he only had one shot. That's why I give it 2 years, because...
But I think if T.O. only had one shot, they would take it more seriously.
I don't know if they would have.
They wouldn't be effing with guys.
Those guys would... Come on, man. You met those guys. They'd be making their stand. This guy's not a Hall of Famer. He doesn't get in. I think you got to give him at least a second shot just to combat the fact that voters are dickweeds.
So they'll have 1 year to hear full-blown outrage from the people.
Yeah, yeah, and realize that.
I don't think any of those people that are on the committee have Twitter. They're not hearing it.
Yeah, but I think now with all the transparency that's out there with this stuff, you will find out that you're an idiot if you do something like that.
Huh? Huh? What?
You can still read, old man.
They think he's a Hall of Famer?
He never made his team better.
They never saw Biletnikoff then. That was a Hall of Famer.
God, when are these guys going to die?
All right, guys. I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. Do you own your phone? Do you own your phone? Do you own your home? How about that? You probably own your phone, or at least you're, I don't know, you might be leasing it. If you own your home, though, you'll need your phone to save some money. That's the deal. Our friends at TGS want to help you save money on your home insurance policy, all without ever talking to an agent. TGS has built a system that takes 15 seconds to get a full quote with excellent coverage. Here's how you do it. Text the word money to 232323. They'll ask for your address. You reply back with that. They're going to send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and these savings are legit. The online rating is nearly perfect. The average customer from 2019 saved over $870 on their home insurance. And you don't need to wait for your renewal, because they're going to take care of all the back end, all the hassle, all the nonsense. You just sit back and fatten your wallet. Simple as that. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Save big today with TGS Insurance.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Can we mix things up a little bit?
Let's do it.
Do a little non-sports here.
Yes.
That's okay?
Yes.
Well, first off, I'm now three episodes into that Jack Taylor I was telling you about.
Okay.
That's season one. I'm going to say so far really good if you like detective stuff. It's not the obvious. It's BBC does a good job with the detective shows. And if you like Sir Jorah and you root for Sir Jorah because he never got to bang Danny, you'll like the show.
Okay.
He does a good job in it. All right. Bro Bible went back and
I didn't really feel bad for him.
Well, I didn't either.
He had that weird disease.
I know, but he got cured.
Yeah, but...
Well, before he had it, he was just old.
Yeah, he's too old for her.
Yeah, well...
And he wasn't that great at his job anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, if he would have been really great, he could have gotten it.
He did try to get killed early on.
Yeah.
So, but Bro Bible went back and looked at all the best pictures since 2000. And kind of figured out, do they hold up or not?
Yeah.
So, simple question. I'm going to give you the winner, and you tell me holds up or, okay, that was a joke.
Okay.
2000 Gladiator.
I'd say it holds up. Yeah, I watched it pretty recently, and it's good. It's better than, like, I remember the other big movies that year with, like, Aaron Brockovich, everyone loved, and Traffic, which was good.
It was okay.
And the Crouching Tiger movie, which was stupid.
Yeah.
So I'm good with Gladiator.
I love that. The only thing that I don't like about it is there's two continuity problems that are really obvious that they've never edited out. One, the black guy who was his friend calls him Maximus before he knows his name is Maximus. Mm. And one is in the first battle when he's bloodying everybody with his sword. And right at the end, he holds his sword up and it's just shining completely with no blood on it right after he's just lopped off a bunch of heads.
Mm, yeah.
Like somebody had just polished the thing. But it doesn't ruin the movie for me. A Beautiful Mind, 2001.
I think that it's not my favorite, but compared to the competition that year, it was the right call.
That was one of those Hall of Fames where anybody could have got in because it wasn't a very good group. Chicago, 2002.
Gangs of New York got screwed.
Agreed. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King in 2003.
That was a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Agreed.
Because the other two were nominated and didn't win.
I like Lord of the Rings, but that was not the best movie. Sorry.
The trilogy's fine. I don't know that it ever should have won Best Picture.
2004, Million Dollar Baby.
Still holds up.
Yeah, that's a really good movie, even though you don't need to see it more than once. It's one of those. Crash in 2005.
I don't know when the last time I watched Crash is. Probably 2005.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it holds up. I'm looking at its competition, though.
Munich was in there.
Brokeback Mountain and Capote. I think it's probably the right call.
Yeah, I mean, again, not a great group. 2006, The Departed.
Yes. Although Letters from Iwo Jima was a badass movie, too.
2007, No Country for Old Men.
Yes.
One of the all-timers.
Even though There Will Be Blood was also deserving.
Yeah, that was just tough that it came out the same year. That was like the year where you had Pulp Fiction and Shawshank and Forrest Gump. You know, what are you going to do? 2008, Slumdog Millionaire.
When you look at the other films that year, I think it was the right call.
Yeah, there wasn't.
Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, and The Reader.
Yeah, those were not good.
Yeah.
Hurt Locker, 2009.
Awesome movie. Inglourious Bastards was out that year, too. But the Hurt Locker is like, that's one of my favorite
movies. Yeah, that and it beat out Avatar, which it should have, which made me very happy. King's Speech, 2010.
Was better than I thought it would be.
Social Network was out that year.
That was a good movie, too. But it was like, you knew that they weren't, like, The Social Network was such a big commercial hit.
Right.
They don't normally give movies like that the nod, so.
King's Speech was much better than I was expecting.
Inception and Social Network were both like, and Toy Story 3 was nominated, too, which actually was a really good movie. But those were so commercial that I figured they would go with King's Speech, and it's a good movie.
It wasn't a bad choice. The Artist, 2011.
I've still never seen it. I'm not going to watch it.
Horrible. Moneyball was out that year. The Help, which I wasn't a fan of, but I thought was better than this.
Yeah, I don't remember any of those movies from that year being like, oh, you've got to see this. Like Moneyball was good. I mean, Hugo was good.
Yeah.
But I don't know that anything was like...
Well, I just say this? The Artist wasn't good.
I didn't. Well, okay. I wasn't even going to watch it.
Argo in 2012.
That was the year that, I'm going to go no, because Django was out, Zero Dark Thirty was out that year, and Silver Linings Playbook, which is a chick flick, but an awesome movie.
That's the one I would have picked. The other two,
And Lincoln was good too.
Yeah. I don't think the other two were better than Argo, but I do think that Silver Linings Playbook was, and I hate saying that because it's a chick flick.
Yeah, that was a good chick flick, though.
12 Years a Slave, 2013.
That was a good year.
Yeah.
because 12 Years a Slave is a good-ass movie.
Another one you don't need to see twice, though.
No, you don't. Dallas Buyers Club was really
good.
That
was awesome. That was probably my favorite movie of the year.
I did not like Gravity, but no. A lot of people did.
No, that was awful.
Captain Phillips was good, but I don't know if it was Best Picture good.
Man, I saw... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say American Hustle was outstanding, and Wolf of Wall Street was outstanding. So there was a lot of good ones that year. I'm not going to argue about 12 Years a Slave. I'm already going to argue about the next year, though. We're about to argue hard on this.
Well, I saw a great documentary about what really happened with Captain Phillips.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't even the hero of that thing. It was like the engineer who saved everybody's lives. So... Birdman 2014.
Horrible movie. Birdman is a stupid, stupid movie. And another one that was popular that year, Boyhood.
Very
also stupid. That was
and
there were some good ones. American Sniper was a badass movie.
Should have won.
Grand Budapest Hotel was a badass movie.
Yeah, that one I would have been okay with.
Whiplash, I didn't think I would care about at all. And then I watched it and I was like, God, that was a really good movie. There was a lot of good choices. They picked the stupidest one. Although Boyhood may have been stupider. I don't know.
Yeah, I got halfway through Birdman and ejected. The only reason I was watching it because it won.
Ridiculous.
And I'm halfway through it, and I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen, except for one that's coming up in a couple years here. 2015, Spotlight. I thought that movie was fantastic. But that, again, that was a great year. The
I
Big
liked
Short.
It too.
I mean,
I liked The Revenant. You didn't. And I liked it. Room. Which I didn't think I would like.
The
but
Martian,
I liked it.
The Martian was that year, which was very good.
I was okay with The Martian.
Some reason Mad Max Fury Road got nominated, which it shouldn't have been. It was terrible.
I didn't think it was terrible, but I didn't think it was Best
terrible.
Picture.
That was a chick flick. But The Big Short, I would have had no problem if The Big Short had won. But I thought Spotlight was fantastic, and part of it's my journalism background. It's one of the few movies that's ever struck me as wow, they nailed it. You know, Moonlight 2016.
No.
That was a bad year, though.
Hell or High Water.
Hell or High Water would have been my choice.
And Hacksaw Ridge is badass, so there was a couple good ones.
Yeah, you know, I didn't see Hacksaw Ridge until a couple months ago. Man, that's
a
good movie.
My wife loved that, La La Land. I don't like musicals.
Yeah.
She liked it. I saw that movie Lion, and that's a pretty good movie, too. But I thought Hell or High Water was great. But again, it's sort of a modern Western.
Texas-based, so it kind of, I think it, was more popular with people like us who live in the state and get some of the things that were going on there. I love that movie. Shape of Water, 2017.
I've never seen it. I just don't have interest in it. It looks ridiculous to me. I probably should take the time to watch it at some point, but I never have.
It's awful. I mean, it really is. And it's just the director has a great reputation, but it's a woman having sex with a fish.
Yeah, I don't like
and,
that.
Okay. You know, I watch movies like that all the time, and they don't get nominated for anything.
I liked Dunkirk. I loved Get Out. I thought that was really good.
Get Out deserves a little more credit. Dunkirk was terrific. Green Book in 2018.
Darkest Hour is the Winston Churchill one, right?
Well,
that was pretty good.
That was probably my favorite movie of the year, and I'm glad that Gary Oldman won Best Actor for that because he just turned into Winston Churchill. Green Book in 2018.
I haven't seen Green Book either.
Very good. I thought Black Klansman was better, but I thought it was very good.
I've seen the only ones I haven't seen from that that year. I haven't seen Green Book. I haven't seen Roma. I saw all the rest.
Yeah, I think I've seen them all. Of those, my favorite was Black Klansman.
Okay.
I think this would probably be.
I thought A Star Was Born was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed more than I thought I would.
It's not. I mean, it's also kind of a chick flick, but I thought it was really good. I thought Vice was good, but not in a way that it should win Best Picture or even be nominated.
I was a little disappointed in that. I had high hopes for it, and again, it was okay.
I like Bohemian Rhapsody more than you did.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have given that Best Picture either.
No, I had some real issues with that. But I do think
what's
going to
win this year?
I think that's a great question. I haven't seen 1917 yet, but I hear nothing but great stuff about it. And
I think my favorite one he's never won though. Tarantino's never won, has he?
No, because Pulp Fiction came up against Forrest Gump.
Yeah. It might be time. That Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's a good movie.
Yeah. Who won the, what's the one they just do, the Screen Actors Guild ones? Who won for that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've seen Little Women, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You won't watch it, though, because you're too manly.
Read the book. Hey, let's go to my man, Lawyer Dave.
Lawyer Dave, best movie of 2019. Go.
You're talking to the wrong guy. I don't have time to watch movies. All I got time to do is help the Blitzers.
Yeah, all he does is go in court and win all the time. That's what you do.
Yeah, we had another good one yesterday, as I mentioned on the air yesterday. You bet. We are 2 for 2 for this year, and that don't be misunderstanding me. We don't win them all by any means because they don't try the easy ones. They try the hard ones, but the jury saw our way twice, and that's great for the Blitzers because we are the trial lawyers. We take cases from the beginning. If we have to file suit, we do that. And if they have to go to trial, by golly, I'm the one that tries them, every single one.
And you win. And guess what? You don't get paid until the Blitzers win.
That's exactly right. We take this gamble together. When I win, the Blitzers win. If we lose, they don't owe me anything.
Yeah, and if you're in an accident of any kind, or maybe your home was damaged in that explosion or something like that, and maybe you got hurt and you can't afford to go to the doctor, what are you going to do for them?
Yeah, that happens a lot. In fact, the lady whose house was blown up by the explosion and she's completely disheveled and hurt, we got her to a doctor because she didn't have any money out of pocket to be able to pay for medical help. We got her to a psychologist and to a doctor to get the medicine she needs because she's really messed up, the poor thing. But yeah, any Blitzer that doesn't have health insurance or has an accident and they can't use whatever insurance they have, we'll get them to a doctor, get them better, get them on the right road to recovery, and help them out that way. You bet.
All right, tell them how to get in touch with you.
Hit me up, boys, at 713-626-8900 or lawyerdave.net or .com or lawyerdavelaw is my Twitter handle. By all means, call my buddy Fred or tweet my buddy Fred if you can't find me.
Yeah, if you can't remember all that, just hit me up and I'll put you in touch with him. Need a lawyer? What do they do?
They better dial Dave.
I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike, looking for a bright light.
This is ESPN 97.5.